Hello, I'm Martin, and this is my show. Each week, we take a deep dive into one artist, one story, 1 hour. We crack open the tracks, peel back the history, what was happening in the studio, on the streets, in the headlines. It's not just music, it's a movement. Each episode becomes a music brick, a solid piece of sound and story, stacked into a music wall of riffs, revolutions, record sleeves, and raw truth. This is more than nostalgia. It's a blueprint. And this is Music Brick.
You're tuned in to Music Brick. Built from the bones of the backbeat. Raw, real, relentless.
Tonight we're diving headfirst into the music, the battles, the peace rallies, and the global rise of a Trenchtown youth, who became the face and the voice of reggae, Mr. Bob Marley. Before the stadium tours, before the anthems rang out across continents, Bob Marley was a barefoot kid from Nine Mile, Jamaica, born in 1945 to a mixed race couple. His father, Norval, an older white Englishman in the military, and his mother, Sadella, a young black Jamaican. Bob grew up knowing both sides of the island's racial divide, but belonging fully to neither. His teenage years in Kingston's Trenchtown were the crucible, tin roof shacks, narrow lanes, and the music scene that pulsed from yard to yard. With Peter Tosh and Bunny Livingston, later Bunny Wailer, he formed the Wailers. Cutting Scar singles in the early 60s with Cox on Dodd at Studio One, Bob Marley wasn't just chasing a hit, he was seeking a voice for the struggles of Jamaica's poor. Rastafari beliefs took root in those years, Haile Selassie as a living god, Africa as Zion, Ganja as a holy herb. The face shaped his lyrics, his life, and the aura that followed him onto every stage.
Playing the best songs on the planet.
Costa Calida International Radio, the best radio station on the Med.
Simmer Down was the Wailers' first hit, 1964, when ska was the sound of Kingston streets and independence still felt new in Jamaica. Recorded at Studio One under Clement Coxon Dodd, Simmer Down wasn't made for dance floors alone. It was a warning shot to the Rude Boys, the sharp-dressed, knife-carrying youth gangs taking root in Kingston's backstreets. Marley, barely out of his teens, stepped into the role of elder brother, telling them straight, cool it or it ends badly. The words came from what he saw every day in Trenchtown, fights sparking over a few square feet of turf, police raids kicking up red dust, young men getting swallowed by pride and poverty. Peter Tosh's deep baritone and Bunny Wailer's softer tone framed the message with authority, voices cut from the same streets they were addressing. When it hit number one in Jamaica, it proved the Wailers were more than entertainers. They were a voice of conscience. Musically, it's ska in full stride. Brass stabs, guitar skank, Lloyd Nibbs drums pushing the beat forward. But at its heart, it's Marley's first lesson in the reach of music. That a song can speak for a community, steer a generation, and change its course.
Down, down, people,
Next up, Trenchtown Rock, a track that feels like Kingston itself. Open yards, flickering lamps, and the pulse of life in every note. In 1971, the Wailers were deep in their roots reggae phase. Working closely with Lee Scratch Perry, Trenchtown Rock is Marley's love letter to the neighbourhood that forged him. Equal parts pride and defiance. That line, "One good thing about music when it hits you, you feel no pain," became a mantra repeated by fans, scholars and even politicians. Trenchtown was more than the streets and the houses. It was a living, breathing organism of sound. Jam sessions erupted in courtyards, makeshift sound systems carried music across alleys, and everyday life changed constantly. While ska and rocksteady were fading, reggae was taking hold, and the Wailers were at the heart of it. Locally, the single topped Jamaica's charts, and across the Atlantic, London youth were picking up reggae through Caribbean immigrants, record shops and pirate radio. The song celebrates community, resilience and joy. Harmonies floating through warm evenings, kerosene lamps flickering, voices carrying the spirit of Trenchtown. From the streets to the charts, Marley was proving that music could anchor a neighbourhood, inspire a generation and reach far beyond the island.
One good thing about music, when it hits you,
you feel no pain.
Whoa, whoa, I say one good thing about music, when it hits you,
you feel no pain.
Hit me with music, yeah. Hit me with music now. This is
Trenchtown Rock.
Don't watch that.
Trenchtown Rock.
Big fish or sprat now.
Trenchtown Rock.
You reap what you sow.
Trenchtown Rock.
And only Jah Jah know.
Trenchtown Rock.
I'll never turn my back.
Trenchtown Rock.
I'll give the slum a try.
Trenchtown Rock.
I'll never let the children cry.
Trenchtown Rock.
Well, you got to tell Jah Jah why.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12 now.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
Know why you come balance so?
Oh no.
Know why you come balance so?
Scabba dip, scabba dip. Scabba dip, dip, scabba dip, scabba dip. Whoa, whoa, I'm a groover. And the world knows by now, 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 y'all. Oh, now I said,
you feel no pain.
If you are big fish or sprat,
Trenchtown Rock,
you reap what you sow,
Trenchtown Rock,
and everyone know now,
Trenchtown Rock,
don't burn your back,
Trenchtown Rock,
as they give a slum a try,
Trenchtown Rock,
never let the children cry,
Trenchtown Rock,
or you got to tell Jah Jah why.
It's
Kingston 12,
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
Following that, one of Marley's gentlest but most far-reaching pieces. Stir It Up was written in 1967 for Rita, but first brought to the world by Johnny Nash in 1972, giving a polished international sheen. By the time Marley recorded it with the Wailers for Catch a Fire in 1973, the track slowed. On the surface, it's an intimate love song, urging a partner to rekindle a flame. But in raster terms, it also sparks consciousness, a spiritual awakening. Chris Blackwell's Island Records production added rock touches for Western ears, while keeping reggae's heartbeat intact. In the UK, Stir It Up began entering the indie charts, marking Marley's first crossover. Globally, 1973 was turbulent. Vietnam War protests, youth unrest, and cultural shifts were reshaping music and fashion. Even in its softness, Stir It Up carries power. Love as a connector, music as a bridge. It shows Marley planting seeds for something larger while still keeping it personal.
Little darling,
Next, Concrete Jungle, a track that pulls no punches. Marley's unflinching portrait of the city he came from, capturing Kingston's harshest corners, corrugated iron, cracked pavements, police raids and poverty, gnawing at a man's spirit. Wayne Perkins' opening guitar adds a bluesy sting, bridging reggae with rock, crafted to reach UK and US listeners newly curious about Jamaica. Lee Scratch Perry's raw authenticity in the studio ensured the track never lost its Jamaican soul, even as Island Records polished it for a global audience. In London, reggae was beginning to chart alongside glam rock and progressive acts, influencing youth culture, fashion and street style. Concrete Jungle is a map and a manifesto, a sonic document of the hardship, resilience and longing for escape. Marley's music carried the weight of his streets while reaching far beyond them. The past, the struggle and the hope all woven into one track.
Consciousness I have of myself, and I can be beneficial to a people, you know. And you know, really, you don't know anything else. You don't know that.
That was Bob Marley in an interview from 1977. From Concrete Jungle to one of Marley's most defiant anthems, Get Up, Stand Up, co-written by Peter Tosh in 1973, became a call to action for the oppressed, rooted in Kingston yet reaching outward, politically, socially and globally. Its line, Get Up, stand up for your rights, resonated far beyond Jamaica, echoing it through civil rights movements in the United States, student protests across Europe and London's own youth activism. The single arrived as Jamaica faced rising political tensions and street-level unrest. In the UK, reggae was just beginning to climb the indie charts, finding its way into Brixton and Notting Hill clubs, record shops and pirate radio stations. Where listeners were hungry for music that spoke to real-life issues. Newspaper coverage and magazines like NME began reporting on reggae as a cultural force, highlighting Marley and the Wailers' ability to channel social realities into compelling narratives. Get Up, Stand Up wasn't just a song. Bob Marley was learning how to transform lived experience into influence, inspiring belief, collective action, and consciousness beyond the streets of Kingston.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth.
In 1973, Bob Marley and the Wailers had left Jamaica's small studios and were recording at Harry J's in Kingston, pushing for international reach. I Shot the Sheriff became that song, the song that would crack it all open. Bob Marley always insisted the lyrics weren't literal. It wasn't about gunning down the police. The sheriff, he said, was a stand-in for oppressive authority, while the deputy was a symbol of unwanted control over his life. The song first appeared on the 1973 album Burnin'. It made little dent in Britain until Eric Clapton recorded his own version in 1974, turning it into a number one in the US and a top 10 hit in the UK. Suddenly Bob Marley's name was on the global stage. Clapton himself admitted he didn't really fully understand the lyrics, but knew the song carried weight. Around that time, Britain's charts were full of glam rock. Suzy Quatro, Slade, Gary Glitter, while in the cinema, The Godfather 2 was reshaping the gangster story. Against that backdrop, Marley's outlaw ballad carried an authenticity others could only posture. It wasn't sequins and makeup, it was real-life pressure, sung out of Trench Town, now echoing through the radios in New York, London and beyond.
I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy. Oh, no, oh. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah. All around in my hometown, they're trying to track me down. Yeah. They say the life of a deputy, but I say, oh now now, oh,
I shot the sheriff,
the sheriff,
but I swear it wasn't self-defense.
No, no.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, I said,
I shot the sheriff,
oh Lord,
and they say,
take a quick recap. Bob Marley's voice has carried us from Faith to Fire, from Outlaw Tales to Dreams of Unity. Every track a marker, every lyric a weapon, but the road doesn't stop here. We started back in 1964 with Simmer Down, Bob Marley settling down the Rude Boys, even as the streets of Jamaica burned. We moved to Trench Town Rock, that unshakable declaration that when music hits you, you feel no pain. Then came Stir It Up, a softer flame, a love song that still carried the weight of hope Then we hit concrete jungle, the bitter truth of urban struggle, where survival was the only gospel worth preaching. With Get Up, Stand Up, Marley and Tosh gave the oppressed a rallying cry, and by the time we reached I Shot the Sheriff, Marley had crossed oceans, spinning parables about justice, power and the long shadow of authority. We're six songs in, from Backstreet Kingston to global stages, and the journey's only just begun.
You're tuned in to Music Break. Built from the bones of the backbeat. Raw, real, relentless.
Next came the track that was a balm for hard times and a global emblem of resilience. Recorded live at the London's Lyceum Theatre in 1975, No Woman, No Cry turns memory into storytelling. In the official credits, Bob Marley isn't listed as the writer of the song. Instead, the name appears to be Vincent Tatar Ford, a Trenchtown friend who ran a soup kitchen for the poor. The story goes that Bob Marley deliberately handed Tatar the publishing rights, partly to sidestep Jamaica's brutal tax system, partly to keep the money in his community, and partly because in Trenchtown, loyalty counted more than paperwork. Every time the song played on the radios around the world, checks landed on Tatar's table, ensuring the soup kept flowing for the people who needed it most. But there's another layer to this song. Just months after it was first heard live, Marley's world was torn apart. December 1976, armed men storm into his Kingston home, spraying bullets. Bob's hit in the chest and arm, Rita takes a bullet to the head, and his manager Don Taylor is almost killed. 2 days later, with bandages covering his wounds, Marley steps onto the stage at the Smile Jamaica concert. He lifts his shirt to show the crowd the scars, then sings, as if to prove that no bullet, no politics, no government could silence him. This song isn't just a ballad of comfort. It's a document of survival, a hymn for the poor, and a reminder that Marley plays the system in his own way.
No woman, no cry. is gonna be alright. Everything 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 is gonna be alright. So woman, no cry. Oh no, no. Don't shed no tears. No, no woman. Woman, no cry. Hey, hey. Oh my little sister, don't shed no.
In 1977, Kingston was burning and Bob Marley fled to London. Out of exile came Exodus, not just a song, but a manifesto. Movement of Jah people, he chants, calling Jamaicans, and by extension the world's dispossessed, to rise up and leave behind the corruption and violence. In Britain, that summer, Star Wars lit up cinema screens while punks like The Clash and The Sex Pistols tore into the establishment. Amid this cultural chaos, Marley dropped an anthem that threaded biblical prophecy into modern revolution. It wasn't just another reggae single, it was a soundtrack for migration, for survival, for new beginnings. On the UK album charts, Exodus went toe-to-toe with Fleetwood Mac's Rumours and David Bowie's Heroes, proving reggae had earned a seat at the global table. Globally, the late 1970s saw protests, political upheaval and movements for civil rights and equality, creating a receptive climate for songs addressing oppression and hope. The album cemented Marley's role as a chronicler of social struggle, demonstrating reggae's ability to resonate far beyond Jamaica and connect with listeners navigating uncertainty, injustice and the desire for change.
Thanks.
Here's one of Marley's most sung anthems, Three Little Birds. By the time it officially charted in the UK in September 1980, things were chaotic. Britain was shifting through new romantic sounds, synth pop glint and disco shimmer. But Bob Marley's voice broke through the static with something deeper. When Three Little Birds finally landed on the UK singles chart on the 13th of September, it entered at number 73. Peaking at number 17. It wasn't flying anywhere near the top, but consider the company around it. Number one on the charts was Kelly Marie with the exuberant disco Feels Like I'm in Love, Randy Crawford's One Day I'll Fly Away, The Police's Don't Stand So Close to Me, and Stevie Wonder's reggae-tinged Master Blaster. Against the backdrop of slick pop and radio polish, Marley quietly injected this message: don't worry about a thing, everything's gonna be all right. It wasn't a dance floor smash, but it was a salve. Its impact cut deeper because Bob Marley reminded us to breathe, to hold on to hope in the middle of all the noise.
Don't worry about a thing. Morning, smile with the rising sun. Three little birds beat by my doorstep, singing sweet songs of melodies pure and true, saying,
this is my message to you, woo-hoo.
Singing, don't worry about a thing.
Next up, one of Marley's most unifying statements, One Love, People Get Ready, came in 1977, a time when Jamaica was fractured by political tension and Britain was wrestling with strikes, inflation and youth unrest. Bob Marley said, one love, one heart, let's get together and feel all right, putting connection and responsibility at the heart of the song. In the UK, it charted on reggae and indie lists, spinning on radio and popping up even on television features, reaching listeners who were negotiating culture, race, identity every day. Youth across cities from Brixton to Manchester were caught between economic hardship and creative energy. Bob Marley's words cut through like a call to action, urging cohesion amid chaos. Globally, civil rights campaigns and labour movements amplified the song's relevance. The lyrics spoke of unity at a moment when the world seemed divided, offering hope and moral grounding. One Love was more than a track, it was a message carried across airwaves and streets. A song that linked Kingston to London, New York and beyond, and reminded listeners that connection and empathy could be revolutionary.
Crying.
and I will feel alright. Say it, let's get together and feel alright. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let them all pass all their dirty remarks.
One love.
There is one question I'd really love to ask.
One heart.
Is there a place for the hopeless sinners who has hurt all mankind? Just to save his own belief.
One love.
Is holy, I'm a Gideon.
One love.
So when the man comes, there will be no doom.
One song.
Have pity on those whose chances grow ten. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Say it.
One love.
What about the one?
Following on from One Love, one of Marley's most recognised releases, Buffalo Soldier came out in 1983, telling the story of African soldiers conscripted into the US cavalry. Survival, resistance, identity, all tangled together. Marley said the song is about survival, about people taken and used, and how they endured, keeping history human and immediate. In the UK, the single climbed mainstream charts while post-punk and early electronic acts were dominating. Newspapers and TVs were full of debate about colonial legacy, race and identity, and suddenly this reggae song felt urgent, necessary. Globally, civil rights campaigns gave it extra resonance. Audience were listening, seeing and understanding. Buffalo Soldier hit like a cinematic snapshot and Kingston connecting to the world. It was storytelling and statement rolled into one, and Marley was still the messenger even in his absence. Across charts, media and conversation, the track left a mark. History, struggle and survival, all in one unforgettable album.
Buffalo Soldier, dreadlock rasta, it was a buffalo soldier in the heart of America. Africa, brought to America, fighting an arrival, fighting for survival. I mean it, when I analyze the stench,
Singer Bob Marley, his reggae music known far beyond its roots in Jamaica, died in a Miami hospital today after a long battle against cancer. Bob Marley was 36 years old.
This is where our music break ends. Bob Marley on stage in Pittsburgh on September the 23rd, 1980. Sick, frail, his body giving way to cancer, but his voice steady, unbroken. The acoustic version of Redemption Song would become his last live performance, the last time he ever stood before an audience. No wailers behind him, no groove, just Bob, his guitar, and the weight of centuries in his hands. He sang of freedom and mental chains, of a fight carried by every generation. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery, none but ourselves can free our minds. The words weren't just lyrics, they were a testament, a farewell statement to a restless planet. Apartheid still ruled in South Africa. Reagan and Brezhnev were locked in nuclear tension. Britain was watching riots erupt in Brixton. Bob Marley sang through it all, knowing his time was short. His faith gathered his way on his final journey, just 36 years of age. And so this redemption song was both his goodbye and his gift.
All pirates, yes, they're rabbi. Sold out to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the end of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing another song of freedom? Is all I ever have. Redemption songs, children. Redemption songs. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the tank. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing another song of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had. Redemption. Redemption songs, sing on with me, children, in every way now, in every day, in every way, in every day. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery.
Bob Marley's music was never just entertainment. It was a lifeline, a soundtrack for survival, resistance, and a hope that resonated far beyond Jamaica's shores. From the bustling streets of Trenchtown to sold-out arenas worldwide, Marley's voice carried the story of pain and triumph, faith and defiance. His legacy is complex and layered, a man who lived at the crossroads of spirituality and politics, roots and revolution, love and struggle. He was a messenger who spoke not only for the oppressed, but for anyone seeking freedom. Bob Marley's songs continue to inspire generations because they offer more than rhythm. They offer a blueprint of resilience and redemption. Tonight we trace that journey through songs that have become cultural touchstones. His music remains a beacon, reminding us that even in the darkness, the human heart can find light, and that unity is the path forward. Bob Marley's message endures. Jah is with us, and every little thing will indeed be all right.
Playing the best songs on the planet.
Costa Calida International Radio, the best radio station on the Med.
Next time on Music Brick, Detroit. Two people, one drum kit, one guitar. Distortion like a siren, discipline like a drill. A colour scheme that screamed danger. The white stripes, Jack and Meg, not siblings, not lovers, just noise and myth welded into raw power. From basement bars to global folklore, we tear back the vinyl, the feedback, the lies. Expect guitars that bruise, lyrics that whisper, and a band that turns silence into a weapon. From Fell in Love with a Girl to Icky Thump, we chase every crackle, every fracture, every riff that rewired the century. This isn't just loud, this is dissection. This is Music Brick, and I give you the White Stripes. This Music Brick show isn't just about music. It's about you and the songs that have stayed with you through your life. The tunes that shaped who you are. So please go and take a look at our Facebook page. Just search at Music Brick. Every song ever recorded means something to someone, and that includes you. We'd love to hear about your favourite songs and the memories connected to them. Our Facebook page, at Music Brick, is where we share these moments and the songs that made them unforgettable. This is your invitation to come and join us, share your story and be part of a growing community. Just search at Music Brick on Facebook. It's a place for everyone, and we'd love you to be part of it. And there you have it. Another Music Brick, another album, another journey. Keep your ears open and your spirits high. Keep listening, keep exploring, and above all, keep the faith. Night-night, Mum.
You're tuned in to Music Brick. Built from the bones of the backbeat. Raw, real, relentless.